just to have things under control, to not look about our gratification today, but to look, to have a vision for tomorrow. You know, that's a Christian's life. It's not just about today. It's about spending our life serving Christ for our reward in the future. You know, as I was thinking about what to share this morning, a couple of weeks ago, I thought I knew what I was going to share. And then in the past week, I changed my message. Just felt like the Lord impressed a totally different message for me to share. You know, it's been my message for this morning is going to be the blessing of being under God's authority. Or another way of kind of like the blessing of a marriage under God's control, under God's authority, a marriage under God's authority. You know, it's been shared already some about Charlie Kurt. That did impact me. That's why I changed what I want to share because of Charlie Kurt. Because I really appreciate him. And, he may not be where we're at, but I appreciate his zealousness, his fire for the Lord, his willingness to stand up against the far left, to willing to stand up and say the truth. That blessed me. Because that's something that's hard for me to do sometimes. You know, it's easy to talk to people that you agree with and to stay nice and calm. But can you stay calm when the pressure is turned on? When you know you're opposed, can you still stay calm? You know, and that's something I admired in Charlie. Even though the pressure was turned on, he could stay calm and just take the word of God and say, this is the word of God. This is the truth. This is the authority. Actually, this is the authority that I want to speak about this morning, the authority of God's word. It's not about what Charlie Kurt said or what I'm going to say this morning. It's about the authority of the word of God. It's God's plan that we be having an amazing marriage that's filled with the power of God, that's spirit-filled. And, you know, something I heard Charlie Kurt's wife say, she, in her testimony, she said, you know, she said what Charlie's favorite verse was, and his favorite verse was Ephesians 5:25. Does anybody remember what Ephesians 5:25 is off the top of your head? Ephesians 5:25. Exactly. Thank you, Nathan. Husbands, love your wives. Charlie Kurt said that was, his wife, Erica, said this was Charlie's favorite verse in the Bible was Ephesians 5. And she quoted the verse and said, this is Charlie's favorite verse. And I was thinking, what is my favorite verse? You know, sometimes as I read Ephesians 5, verse 25, you kind of skim over because you feel like you don't really qualify for that verse. You don't love your wife the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And but anyhow, this morning, I was trying to figure out exactly how to share things. And so I have like a four-part message. I'm not sure if I'll get through it or not. First, I would like to talk about husbands loving your wives. Part two, wives submit to your own husbands. Part three, children obey your parents. Part four, the church being in subject, us families, church leadership, being under church leadership. I know I'm covering a lot of ground there and I probably won't cover it, but my thought is I don't want to just talk to one person. I want to talk to everybody. You see, if you're sitting here, I want to think that I'll have something to speak to you as well, okay? Because sometimes you say, well, this is about how husbands love your wives, so I'm going to say, kind of tune out. No, I think I have something that I'd like for everyone to listen, because I think we can all benefit from it. Charlie Kurt had a passion to share the gospel. And I wondered sometimes, it was easy to see, if you listen to him, what his passion was. And I like to ask us, what's our passion? We should have a passion. If we're gone, what would someone say is your passion? Is it to share the gospel? Is it to take the word of God and make applications and say, it's not, homosexuality is wrong, it's sin. Stand for life, stand for against divorce and remarriage. Stand for good, godly principles. You know, anymore people say, it really don't matter, just do how you feel. And it'll all, you know, you're your own person. But when we take the word of God and make application, sometimes we say guidelines. You know, sometimes we cringe at guidelines. Well, I just want to tell you, the word of God is full of guidelines. And when we don't apply them to our hearts, then our lives will fall apart. And so I'd like to look at some guidelines in the word of God this morning. And they're more than just guidelines. They're principles. They're commandments that we either do or die, okay? You know, as a talking, you know, there's a lot of people have authority. A husband has authority. A wife has authority. A president has authority. Church leadership has authority. But I'd like to say up front, ultimately, God is our authority. All of the authority we have, we can only truly be in authority if we're truly under authority. Some people try to have authority, but they're not really under the authority of God, and their life is a chaos because they're not under authority, but yet you want to be in authority. So if you're here as a husband or a wife or whoever you are, you need to be under authority. If you're thinking, well, no one's telling me what to do, I'm free, white, and 21, then you're going to be a disastrous something going off, okay? Your life's going to be chaos. It is important to be under authority, to have the Word of God that is my authority. And because the Word of God says, husbands love your wife, that's the authority that the husbands need to love their wives. Or maybe the Word of God says, wives, submit to your husbands. It's not about the husbands. It's about God's authority. So before we start, I'd like to have it clear that it's about the authority of God. Because if we don't have the authority of God, then we can all just do what we want to do. We interpret it this way, or you interpret it this way, or I interpret it that way. But when we realize this is the authority of God speaking to me, then we take it serious. You know, and I cringe a little bit to speak this morning on this subject. Why? Because I typically don't talk on marriage and authority or submitting one to another. I like to talk about how amazing God is, okay? But I just felt God laid this on my heart. So I've never shared this message or even one close to this, okay? Because it's not my intention to do that. But I want to share this because I feel God laid it on my heart. God laid it on my heart. So I'm going to start off with Ephesians 5. The verse, anyhow, something else, double check here. Something else Erica said, you know, my husband, Charlie, said every day, almost every day, he comes to me and he says, Charlie, Erica, how can I love you more? Said he was truly, genuinely concerned. How can I love you more? You know, the Word of God tells a man to love his wife, like Christ loved the church. But it said, Erica said that Charlie would come and say, how can I love you more? How can I love you more? And he said, there's probably days that he missed, but said generally he would do that. In other words, he was genuinely concerned. And you know, I had to think about that. How often do we as men come to our wives and say, how can I love you more? How can I be more Christ-like? You know, sometimes when we ask those questions, and I want you as wives, ask your husband, I want you men to ask your wives, how can I love you more? Earl, you ask Lois, how can I love you more? You know, I ask my wife that sometimes. And you know, sometimes it's the hard things that you don't want to hear are said. You know, we you know, when you really want to know, that's the time the door's wide open. Brother Mark, when you ask Barb, how can I love you more? Guess what she's going to say? Probably thinks you could improve, right? Okay, that's what's going to be there. Something you can improve. We can all improve. So we need to ask our wives, how can I love you more, okay? You know what? One thing my wife told me for a number of years, how I can love her more. Sometimes it's the hardest things. What do you reckon what that was? For the last couple of years, she said, well, you know what it is. She didn't even tell me. Okay? And that was, she wanted me to lose weight. Okay? And most of you probably sense I've been working on that. I'm like, Brother Dan, I still got a little bit to go, he says. I'm not picking on you, Dan. Dan says he still got a little ways to go. But, and I have a little ways to go. But at least I'm working at it, you know? We need to sometimes ask those hard questions as husbands. What can I do to love you more? If we really want to know, okay? And that's something Erica would ask Charlie. Charlie would ask Erica, what can I do to love you more? You know, that's what we need to do to God. God, how can I love you more? And that's if we're serious. But if we're not really serious about life, then we just kind of glance over it. I mean, we kind of, you know, don't put a whole lot of application to it. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, so I'm going to try to, as best I can, hit all 4 points. But I know I'm going to be pushed a little bit for time. Ephesians 5, 25, husbands, love your wives, even as also Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So how did Christ love the church? Christ left everything behind because he loved the church. He left the bliss of heaven, of glory. He left his Father. He left everything behind because to come down because he loved the church. Because he, you know, Jesus didn't come down here and accidentally was crucified. Jesus came down, you know, it was his plan to lay down his life for the church. Jesus said, they didn't take my life, I gave my life. And that's a plan that me and us as husbands, we need to realize we're called to give our lives for our wives, okay? We're called to give our lives, to be that leader, to lay down our life, to not be there for a weekend. Sometimes we say, a marriage is 50-50. Jesus didn't come down here with a saying a marriage is 50-50. He's like, I'm going to win the church. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to show them what love looks like. Jesus' love for us had no restrictions. He's going to give it all. And you know, I think that's what we should as men. Give it all for our wives because we love them. Jesus came to serve. Jesus just said, I don't come to be served. I come to serve. He did wash the disciples' feet. He healed those that were sick. Jesus came to serve. So if you get married, don't get married. And men, don't get married with a thing, oh, life's going to get easier for me. You're marrying because you want to serve. Each one of us need to learn to serve. When we serve, yes, sure, it'll make much easier for our wives to submit to ourselves. And when they see Christ in us, you know, after a little bit I'll be talking about submission. But when men truly serve with all their hearts, men lay down their lives for their wife like Christ did for the church. That's what's going to create a unity that's inseparable. You know, that's what's going to create a strong family when the two are truly knitted together in love. Okay. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the word. You know, Christ came to cleanse us and to sanctify us and to wash us. You know, we are to sanctify our wives and to cleanse our wives. We use the Word of God and teach them the principles. Teach them what love looks like. We as husbands are to sanctify our wives, even as Christ sanctified the church. We're to lay down our lives, like I said. You know, Christ is coming back for a glorious, spotless church. And you know, that's how we should be thinking about our wives. We're there to make them spotless. We're not looking at things that they might do wrong. All we see is the potential that our wife has. We're there to make them, to sanctify them. We use the Word of God to sanctify them, to cleanse them, and to wash them by the Word, that He might present unto Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, it's my desire that us as men would be able to love our wives like that, holy and without a blemish. You know, too many times we think, I've heard it said many times, well, what's in it for me? I mean, you know, we're all consumed with what's in it for me. Well, she owes me this and she owes me that, and she needs to do this and she needs to do that. But you know, our focus should be to serve her and to bless her and to be there for her and to wash her and to cleanse her and to forgive her. And be there. So ought men to love their wives even as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. You know, he that loveth his wife loveth. We don't have struggle with loving ourselves, but sometimes we struggle with loving our wives like we should. You know, it's just, I just comes to me that we need to be more on fire for the Lord and just to really give God our all. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. You know, the two, isn't it a mystery how the two will become one flesh? You know, I think the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost are three but one. The husband and wife are two but one. We are to be so one with each other, even as Christ and the Father are one with each other. We say that at baptisms, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost are one. They are. Husband and wife are one. That we have that unity, that we love each other to that extent. Okay, I'm going to switch a little bit now. You know, I really like to focus more on husbands really loving their wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It's because I see that's probably, if we have that part right, the rest of the marriage comes much easier. Sometimes we think, you know, the wife would just be submissive or this. But when you are a husband, are truly in love with God, and you're in love with your wife, and you are laying down your life, I can't say it often enough, you're laying down your life for her, you're not looking to see how what she can do for you. You're looking to see, how can I bless you? How can I encourage you? How can I be there for you? You know, how can I be all that you want me to be? Okay, in part, and I'm going to switch over to part two. Giving is still, most of it is going to be in Ephesians. Still Ephesians 5, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Here we see, that's verse 21, Ephesians 5, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's not just about wives submitting to your husband. It says submitting one to another, where? In the fear of God. That there's a coming together. We submit as a husband and wife. You submit one to another. It's not just one or the other. It's a unity that we come together and we're truly one. verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. You know, sometimes these verses, you know, I've never preached on because I'm like, you know, this is more like a verses for the older women to teach the younger women. Well, I've always said that. Now here I am, okay? But I do think that the whole Word of God should be preached behind a pulpit. You know, but I do want to say that it's not, some people say, it's not that a man is better than a woman at all. A man and a woman are equal. God has given a man a different role and a woman a different role. But in the sight of God, I believe man and woman are equal. But God does want the man to be the leader, okay? And he says, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. You know, this makes it actually pretty strong here. You know, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Well, it's easy for a wife to say, yeah, I'll submit to the Lord, but I can't submit to my husband. The Lord's, Jesus, the word is saying, no, you know, saying you can submit to the Lord, but not submit to your husband. The word says, the word of God says, the same way you submit to the Lord, you also submit to your husband. You know, I feel so, I'm trying to see if my notes go together with what I'm saying here. I feel so blessed and amazed to have an amazing wife. You know, I've heard it said many times, behind every great man is a great woman. And you know, so when you see a great man, usually you see a great woman behind him. So it's a team effort that we team together and that we work together. You know, I've told my wife many times, you know, with her behind me, I can climb Mount Everest. I've never tried to climb. It might be a stretch. But with her behind me, I can climb the highest mountain, okay? Because I feel energized. I feel like I can do it. You know, with my imagination, I can do anything when we're together, okay? I really do. But when you're not together in something, then you feel like it's almost not worth getting out of bed. You know, with now what you're going to do. You know what I mean? Just like life's difficult sometimes. It's so important to be together, to submit one to another, and then to have a woman that's behind you. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So here he gives a clear leadership. Husbands, you lead out. Did Christ lead out in the church? Yes, Christ led out very clear in the church. Husbands, you be the head of the wife. Not that the wife is down here, or I believe husband and wife are equal. However, God gives the man the role to lead out. You be the spiritual leader. You be the example of laying down your life. You be the example of asking her, what can I do for you? Getting her coffee, making her breakfast. Being there for her. I'd like to just see you raise a hand. Maybe I don't. Usually at home, do you get your wife a cup of coffee or does she get you a cup of coffee? I'm just going to ask that question. Are you the one serving her or is she always serving you? You know, something I've done for years already, every morning I get up, I make my wife breakfast and I give her coffee. By the time she comes walking out the door, I believe it's my place to serve her. You know, and I don't always serve her in every area like I should. But that's my desire. Husbands, serve your wives. We're together in this. Husbands, for the husband is the head of the wife. He is the head. But you lead out. Sometimes we take that out of context. Okay, I'm the head, so I got the whip, you know. No, I'm the head, so I'm going to lead out an example. I'm going to show you what love looks like. I'm going to show you how to take discipline to children and take care of the home. And I'm going to be there to pay the bills. I'm going to be leading out. Leading out comes in many forms and fashions. So wives, I think you should, wives, ask your husband sometimes tell him how he should lead out more maybe. Or maybe I should say husbands, ask your wives how you could lead out more. Because the husband is to lead out. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. You know, that makes it pretty solid. Christ is the head of the church. When we understand Christ, when Christ is the head of the church, but yet we see Christ came and gave himself for the church. Christ died for the church. Christ washed the disciples' feet. Christ was totally, even when Christ said in one place, he said, I don't even have a place to lay my head. You know, Christ gave everything to the church. He was truly a servant. Christ was truly a servant. And that's what we are called as husbands, to truly be that servant. And he says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. The right kind, it comes across real strong that, you know, Christ, even as Christ is subject, as the church is subject to Christ, the church is always subject to Christ. You know, we know this, the church is subject to Christ. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You know, but if the husband is the way he should be, a wife will love to be, and she will love to be subject to her husband as Christ. She'll love to be subject to her husband when she sees Christ coming out of your life. You know, first, Christ was the example and the church followed. The man should be the example and then the church wife follow. But you know, we can't, just because the one don't do the part, we can't blame it on the other one. Well, the other one didn't do their part, so it is what it is. You know, all I'm saying is it's easy to, for the man to say, well, I can't lead out because of you. And it's easy for the lady, maybe the wife, to say, I can't be submissive because of you. We're all called to fill our duty regardless of the other. It just makes it much easier when we do it God's way. When we as men truly are filled with the Spirit of God, when we're truly in tune with God, it makes it so much easier. And then as man and wife are together in marriage, now they have children, they can teach and train their children. You know, it's easy to sometimes, we need to lay down our lives for each other. It's easy sometimes to say, and I've heard this said recently, well, a couple was having a bit of a difference. And the wife says, and the one says, well, I want to be me, though. You can't take me out of me. I want to be me, and I still feel this way regardless. This is just who I am. Well, the man feels, well, this is just who I am. I'm the leader, and this is who I am. So you have two people that say, I am who I am. You don't want to take the me out of me, do you? You want me just to be a doormat. It's like, no, God don't expect anyone to be a doormat. But we need to, both of us, to say, listen, as a woman, I'm going to submit unto my husband, even as the church submits to Christ. You know, it just makes it much easier when the husband is in his place. When the husband truly loves his wife with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, we should love God with our soul, mind, and strength. That's our principle, but then we love, it says we love our wife as ourselves. We love each other as ourselves. I'm going to switch just a little bit here in the same subject here. See, I'd like to read a couple of verses in Peter, still talking about wives honoring their husbands. A verse in Peter that's kind of jumps out at me. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. I know I'm kind of picking out a couple of verses. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well with not any, and are not afraid with any amazement. Sarah honored Abraham and calling him Lord. I don't think any of you men and any of you wives should call your husband Lord, but you see a reverence there. You know, a lot of times we look at Abraham and Isaac and Sarah, we look at them as amazing examples, and they are amazing examples. But here Sarah calls Abraham Lord. It's like a way of reverencing him. Then it says, listen to who it says. It says, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. We are, by faith, you sisters are the daughters of Sarah. Isn't that amazing? By faith, you daughter, you wives are sisters of Sarah. To me, that's amazing. And it says that you are the daughters as long as you do well, as long as you are not afraid with any amazement. In other words, I believe it says, as long as we walk the way Sarah walked with Abraham. You know, Abraham wasn't perfect, but we see Sarah adored him, calling him Lord. Then the next verse, I like it. This verse even better. Now it's switching it just a little bit. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. You know, growing up, we were kind of taught, well, the wife is the weaker vessel and the man's the instructor, the head of our home. You know, and I think in our Mennonite circles, that has been a little bit the way it's been looked at. But but I believe what it's talking about, the woman being a, let me read it again. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. How are we supposed to treat her? Giving honor unto your spouse as the weaker vessel. The weaker vessel, all the weaker vessel means is she's not as strong as the man is. I think everyone acknowledges that. As a whole, a woman can't lift as much. She isn't as strong, you know, as the woman is. She is a weaker vessel, okay? There's exceptions to the rule, of course, but still, we're to give honor to her. He said, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. When you know your wife, by now you probably know your wife, dwell with her according to knowledge. Do what makes her shine. Do what makes her happy. Use your knowledge, what you've had over the last 10 years. Or it's been 37 years. Use the knowledge I have and make her happy. Make her shine for Christ. You know, make her shine for you, for Jesus. And the next verse, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that see your prayers be not hindered. I tell you what, I want to camp out on that verse just a little bit. And being together, the heirs, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. We're heirs together of the grace of life. See that your prayers be not hindered. It's easy for your prayers to be hindered. And you know, there's been times when you realize you're serving God together, you're praying together, you're walking together. When you pray, you feel the prayers reach heaven. You feel them reaching the pearly gates because you're together while you're praying. But you know, sometimes I've had it, to my shame, you know, where we haven't really felt the togetherness. And when you don't feel you're connecting together and you try to pray, it feels like your prayers are only going as high as the ceiling. And I've told my wife that I don't feel like praying because, you know, it only goes to high as the ceiling because your prayers will be hindered. But when you're together, your prayers, I can tell, they go to the throne. You know, and it's important. If you want to have a strong marriage, that you pray together. And I trust each one of us as couples pray together. You know, we go to bed. I usually, we lay there praying. I pray for all 12 of my children, usually every night. Sometimes I group them just a little bit. And I pray for the church, and I pray for her, and I pray for the country, and I pray for myself. And I pray, try to worship and thank the Lord for all my... Sometimes I go on and on and on. My wife falls asleep. She's like, I quit, and she's only got the last half of it. But it's important that we really pray together. That we're together so our prayers hit the throne, okay? Or your prayers will be hindered. If you're fighting in your marriage or can't get along or have a little taff between you or something, then you won't feel like praying. Let's have an open heavens so our prayers won't be hindered. I was just looking at some of my husbands giving honor unto the wife as being heirs together of the grace of life. Amen. And I want to say, you know, I feel unworthy that someone should submit to me or my wife should submit to me. But you know, we can't say, well, I don't want you, honey. I don't want you to submit to me. We'll just do things differently. Well, I guess what I'm trying to say, if the Word of God says something, that's Word, okay? And you know, I've heard people say, all right, well, I can't submit to my wife because this is, I've heard the wife say, I can't submit to my husband because this is how my husband is and this is how my husband is. I can't submit to my husband. Well, that's okay. You just submit to God then. Oh yeah, I can submit to God, okay? I can submit to God. Well, what does God say? You submit to your husband, okay? So if you can't submit to your husband, submit to God, and then you'll still submit to your husband. You see what I'm trying to say? And then I realize there's exceptions of where things are torn apart. I understand that. But still, regardless how torn apart they are, you can still honor each other and respect each other and love each other. There's sometimes, you know, things are less than ideal, and sometimes we can't do everything. We can't do the other person's part. But regardless, we can always do our part. Christ did his part, even if the church didn't do their part. And that's what I'm saying is the wives should do their part, even if the husband don't do their part. That's what I always want to make it clear. I don't think we should, well, you're not doing your part, so I don't have to do my part, and we start playing this tug of war. But us as men should be leading out and being an example. Being a godly example. Still in Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So if you're children, I'm speaking to you, and I think we're all children. How about you, Earl? Are you a child? We're all children. Some children are older than other children, okay? But it's important that we obey our parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, even if your parents are in a different culture, maybe a different background, maybe a different church, we can still obey them to a large degree. We can still honor them. Honor your father and the mother, which is the first commandment with promise. You know, I've seen this. The more we honor our parents, even as children, the more you grow up in a safe environment, the more your children, are you listening? Your children will honor you. Why? Because you've walked that out. It's an example you've grew up in, honoring your parents, obeying your parents. You know, honoring them and obeying them goes beyond just what you have to do. When you honor someone, you want to obey them. You want to do the right thing. You know, I've seen situations, even in our home, somebody wants to do something, you say, well, can I do this, Dad and Mom? Well, I'd rather not. Well, they go ahead and do it anyhow. I said, why did you go do that? Well, you didn't tell me I couldn't. You said you'd rather not. See, you weren't really honoring and you weren't really obeying. You know, when we really honor and obey somebody, we obey their wishes and not just a command, okay? And I think that's something we tend to lose in our young people, you know, that we truly realize the importance of obeying our parents, honoring our mother, which is the first, honoring our father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. You know, God gives many promises, very seldom. God gives lots of commands. Not too often does he give promises to go with the commands. Sometimes he does. But here we see he gives a promise to go with it. That he may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Amen. Praise God. Do you want to, yeah. And then, like I said, as we, even for myself, that I honor my parents are gone. Now I look back and I wish I could have even honored them more. But you know, I look back, and I'm glad that I did honor and respect my parents. You know, we can all honor and respect our parents. And that don't mean that you have to always 100% agree with everything they do and think or say. But people, your parents can tell if you honor them and that you value them. And you know, this is a commandment. This is a commandment straight from the Word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It's not just an idea or a suggestion. Honor thy father and the mother, which is the first commandment with promise. They may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long upon the earth. You know, as I was thinking as an example of honor and respect, people, you know, many examples popped up in my mind of people that honor and respect And the Word of God. But one that stood out to me as I was thinking about Abraham. You know, a lot of times young people say, well, I don't understand that. That's not the way I look at it. Well, God didn't tell me this, or God didn't tell me that. That's not where I'm at. I think of Abraham and Isaac when you went up to to the mountain for that sacrifice. In Genesis 22, and Abraham took wood and burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and they took fire in their hand and a knife, and both of them went together. You know, we know the story, so I'm not going to read it all here, okay? But we're not sure how old Isaac was, but it says that he laid wood and burnt offerings upon Isaac his son. And they took a 3-day journey and went up to a mountain and built an altar. And you know, Isaac asked Abraham, so where's the sacrifice? So where's the lamb? He says, God will provide. And it says, Isaac was an old man. I mean, Abraham was an old man and Isaac was a young lad. So I would suggest, I tried to figure out how old Isaac was. He couldn't really tell, but it looked like he might have been in his late teens or early 20s possibly, okay? But he was a young lad. He could have been anywhere from 15 to 25, somewhere in there. Can you imagine? Here the father's like, you know, I don't really understand. Abraham was walking in faith. I don't really understand, but God told me to tie you up and lay you on the altar. You know, Isaac could have jumped up and down and run off, but you don't say anything about that. He says, Abraham tied up Isaac and laid him on the altar. And you know, there, I don't think Abraham understood it, and Isaac didn't understand it. But there was obedience and honor. Both were there. Obedience and honor. When we don't understand, if the Word of God says it, we don't need to necessarily understand it. We do it, and then God will give us a revelation later on why we did it. And there we see, you know, Abraham was it was Abraham's only son, so it was his pride, his joy. God told him, from your son will be prosper and be the seed of many nations. Abraham didn't understand, but he walked in faith. But my focus is on Isaac. They had such a relationship that Isaac was tied up and put on the altar. And Isaac, don't say he tried to run away or anything. But, you know, he honored his father when he didn't understand. And, you know, and God blessed Isaac for that. So I want to say to you young people, when you do things your authority is asking, you don't understand, it's better off doing it than not doing it. And, you know, sometimes if you do the wrong thing because your authority asks you to do something that's not, you don't understand, if it's the wrong thing, then it goes home with them. It's your part to honor them and to obey. And, you know, each one of us, that we would honor and respect our parents, whether you're 10 or 12 or 15. I know I kind of skimming through it a little bit fast here. But I'm still in Ephesians, though, okay? So it didn't go far. I'll try to wrap this up in the next 5 minutes. You know, I thought about skipping it, but I don't want to skip it because I really want to have this. I really want to share. It's a passion God laid on my heart. You know, we have ordination coming up. You know, and it's easy. We say, we know who's going to be ordained. I don't want to shift subjects here too much. But it's being under God's authority. We want the church, husbands and wives, to be under God's authority. We want the children to be under God's authority. We want the church to be under God's authority. It's all about being under authority, okay? Ephesians 4, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body. You know, as we think about ordination, as we think about leadership, you know, I heard somebody say the other day, well, you know, I'm not sure who I'm going to vote for. If so-and-so gets in, I just don't know about him. If so-and-so gets in, I guess my thought is, let's as a church, be together, be under God's authority. You know, that regardless who God puts in, that we say, yes, amen. You know, it may not be the way I look at it always. But if God puts somebody in authority, that we say, amen, we're there to support him. You know, you've heard of pastors burning out and wearing out. What do you think that is, Marcus? People don't support him. Of course you get burned out. Nobody, if your wife and your family don't support you, you're going to get burned out being a husband? Yeah, uh-huh. They support you, then what? You can climb Mount Everest. I'm serious. That's how it is. So it's my encouragement for us. When we get behind our leadership, they can climb Mount Everest much easier than we like, well, Well, I don't agree with this and I don't agree with that. We lose much more when we don't agree and pull together. Submitting one to another in the fear of God, that we submit one to another, that we support the vision of the church, that we support the authority. It says it's God who gave some apostles. It's God that gave some prophets and some pastors and some teachers. It's not just something we're drumming up. It's from God, okay? So anyhow, so it's my encouragement that we pull together as a church, as we think about ordination, that we, yes, there's a time for the brotherhood to take a vote, to count, or to hear the leadership, to hear from the church. But then it's the time that you have to, you know, pick out which one's which. And, you know, and when we don't understand, trust the Lord. God, I'm 100% behind you. You know, the other evening I seen Jason Hurst the other evening. Brother Marcus had his over, bless him, and I went over and I told my wife, well, I wasn't used to going somewhere Friday evening, you know. I said, well, we'll be there for a little bit. Guess what? It was 10:30 before we left for, I mean, we had an amazing fellowship. So if you want some amazing fellowship, just go over to Marcus's, okay? That fire does something to you. But anyhow, we sitting around the fire, and before I left, I walked up to Jason. And I told Jason, I said, listen, I want you to know I've got your back. I want to support you. I mean, as far as in the church, if there's something I can do for you, I want to be there for you. I want you to know I support whatever you do in the church here because I have faith that God is working here. And so I want you to know that I support you. And I would like to encourage each one of us, Lyndon, you too. Let's get behind our leadership and support them. Okay, I know Lyndon always talks about that. That's good. And I appreciate that. You know, with ordination coming up, we need to do that. Get behind our leadership. The men that's put in, even if you think that person can't preach, that person is still too young, that person is too old, whatever your excuse might be because you didn't vote for him, get behind him and pray for him and stand with the church. Yeah, you know, it's I've told my wife this number of times already. Now, you may disagree with me, but this is who I am. It's better off doing something less than ideal, what I think, and be together. Then everybody think, well, I think this, and you think that, and don't think that. Well, we all have these our little preferences, okay? So we can't agree. We're better off doing something less than what I think is ideal and be united than do our own thing and be separate. So that's my encouragement for the church here. As we think about ordination, let's be standing behind our ministry. Let's be standing behind the voice of the church. We're asking God to give clear direction. And I believe God will give us clear direction. And, you know, our ministry is gone right now. You may even be listening in, I don't know. But I like for us to make effort when they come back, or even before they come back. Send them a text. Tell them you appreciate them. Let's support our ministry, okay? Let's support them. Let's tell them we missed that they weren't here. You know, they're probably, you know, there's a lot of responsibility on the parents to raise a family, right? Who all agree with me? A lot of responsibility. A lot of responsibility. Who would like to be our next pastor? Nobody wants to be a pastor. Why? It takes time and energy to be a pastor. So if someone, God puts somebody in, somebody's willing to take that position, let's get behind them and let's bless them. And let's realize in order to be blessed, we need to be under the authority of God. We need to be under the authority of God. Let's not try to do things our own way, but let's bless the ministry and our ordination coming up, that we know how to really be under authority. You know, like I said, at first, it's the husbands being under the authority of God, being a husband, the wives being under the authority of God, submitting to their wives, children to honor their parents and respect them, and the church would be under authority. You know, when the church is under us, first of all, and I want to say this before I wrap it up. When you have a lot of strong marriages, husbands and wives loving each other, it makes so much easier to have a strong church. I mean, I've never been a pastor, but you know, I hear pastors have a lot of things to do talking to Sharon and Lyndon, you know, to get them together and working out things, if you know what I mean. Not exactly, but you know what I mean. They spend half their time counseling people where you should be using that time Maybe they have to do that. But if they didn't have to do so, if there'd be more stronger marriages, they could have more time on their knees praying for the message, seeking after God, doing other ministry work. So I want to encourage us as marriages, as husbands, let's do our due responsibility in seeking after God and laying down our life like Christ laid his life down for the church. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then the ministry will have an amazing thing. Well, this is nothing to do. We just have to get up and preach and encourage the people. The marriages are strong. The young people have a vision. They honor their parents. It's amazing the authority that we want here at Joy. And, you know, I'm blessed what I see, but I'm being quite honest right here. I see we have some growth. And really supporting our leadership and being there. Too many of us, how are these free thinkers? Somebody, you know, it's a kind of a charity back route that too much, everybody is independent too much. You know, charity church kind of thinking. I'm not talking picking on charity, okay? I mean the charity movement, okay? It's just me and God, me and God. No, it's not just me and God. You know, we need church. We need accountability. We need brotherhood. We need brotherhood. You know, just stop and think how it'd be if we didn't have a brotherhood. We'd just be at home trying to raise our own godly family ourselves. Now we're balanced. We speak into each other's lives. We enjoy. We feel love. When I come to Joy, you know, Linda was writing that stuff up here. Why we came to Joy. I always want to say this and I'll shut up. When I came to Joy, I came to Joy because I felt loved. I've been in some churches I didn't feel so loved. I'm just being honest. I came, I felt accepted, I felt loved, I felt cared for. I was like, there's no place on earth I'd rather be as Joy. And I'm still there today. May God bless you.